Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Let me just reiterate, when I have sinned, at the moment that I've sinned, do you have these moments, you guys, when you go over the top on something and you just say something or you do something or you think something and you go over the top, you have this immediate conviction from God, you go, oh, I just blew it. I know that I've sinned. And at that moment, what I know is that I've gotten loose from the vine, basically. It's not that I'm not saved. It's that I'm not abiding in the moment. And so what's happened is I've broken off and now I'm a free agent at this point, and I'm off doing what I do naturally. I sin. And so the answer to that is not doing penance. The answer to that is not reading my Bible more, necessarily. The answer to that is not praying a lot, necessarily. I'm putting provisos in there. The answer to that is I need to get back to abiding in Jesus, which many times includes reading my Bible and praying. But reading my Bible and praying doesn't just do that. It's not like this magic thing. I have to abide in Christ. So when I'm abiding in Christ, I am not making sin, is what the Greek literally says. I am not making sin. It's the idea of an active participation. Okay? He goes on in the passage, and he says, again, verse 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins, and it's a Greek participle, and it literally means whoever is sinning. A participle always has an ing on the end. It's the idea of an active type of situation. So this would read, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever is sinning has neither seen him nor known him. And the point that's being made there is it's speaking about a habitual pattern. If I am a person who is constantly sinning, and that sin is going on specifically and without repentance, and this is just my life, this is what I am, I'm a person who is sinning, then I don't know Jesus. So when you're looking at somebody who is actually a Christian, what you are going to see is somebody who has turned away from their sin, who at times will struggle with their sin. They'll repent of it, they'll confess it, and they'll move on. They'll ask God to forgive them, and there's this back and forth type of thing that's taking place. They're not sinning continually. When you see a person who goes to church and there is no difference between them and people in the world, if there is no conviction of the Holy Spirit, if you're not seeing the love of the Lord in their life, then you know that you are looking at someone who is not of God. They do not know the Lord. But if you see the struggle taking place, if you see the situation where they want things to be right, they try to make those things right, as you have in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 10. When you see that going on, you know that there's life there, that there's an abiding, at least at some point, in Christ. And then there may be those times when they're not abiding in the moment, but you see it going on. If you see somebody who's just continually sinning, you are looking at a non-Christian, and it doesn't matter where they grew up, doesn't matter what they said when they were 12, it doesn't matter, none of that matters. What you're looking at is somebody who does not know God. And so the fact that I proclaim the name of Jesus does not mean that I'm a Christian. It's I proclaim the name of Jesus, and there's evidence. So there's always evidence. You get that? Okay. And so he goes on, and he says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness, literally he who is making righteousness, is righteous, just as he, talking about Jesus, is righteous. And there are a lot of people who are deceived. Because again, what they do is they go off the nomenclature instead of the character. And so they look at people and they go, well, that person says that they're a Christian, and who am I to judge? Well, the Bible talks about judging all the time. And so I don't need to be judging in the sense of putting people down, but I need to understand where people are at. I can't help a person if I don't recognize that they need help, or if I refuse to acknowledge the idea that this person needs help. And so there is a judgment in a sense where you look at people and you go, you know, that guy doesn't know Jesus. He thinks he does, but he's got a wrong standard. And his standard is he goes to a certain church, and he thinks that going to this certain church makes him okay with God or something. Or his standard is he goes to a certain church and he said a prayer when he was 12. And that's what he thinks makes him a Christian. Or his standard, you know, and you can go on with all the different things that people come up with that they say makes them a Christian. This is what a Christian is. A Christian is somebody who has turned away from their sin, committed their life fully and completely to Christ, and walks with him, and you can see the changes. That's what a Christian is. And if you don't have all those things, that is not Christianity. And that's the point that John is making here. One of the things that you have with John is that this guy's a rowdy guy. Jesus called him and his brother the sons of thunder. I don't know who thunder was. I don't know if it was his daddy or his mom. But, you know, he's one of the sons of thunder. Whenever I think of John and James, you know, when you're in 1 John, he's talking about love left and right, but you see this attitude, this edginess come out with this guy. Whenever I think of John, I think of a guy that, you know, like a motorcycle dude with a leather jacket, you know, sons of thunder across the back, you know, that kind of thing. He's that kind of guy. And so what he's doing is he's taking this whole idea of abiding versus not abiding, and putting it in the most blatant, blunt terms that he can so that we get it. So if I'm not abiding, I'm making sin. If I'm continually not abiding, I am not a believer. If I'm abiding, I am not sinning. If I'm continually abiding, I'm sinning way less, right? So I'm not sinless, but I do sin less as I come to know the Lord better and as I grow in my walk with God. And that's what we're looking for. I need to become more and more like Jesus as time goes on. And this does not take decades. This takes moments. You know, there are things that we struggle with over time, but this does not take decades. You know, people can be absolutely transformed within the time. Obviously, we get transformed when we first come into a relationship with Christ, but you can see the radical differences that take place within weeks of a person coming into a relationship with Jesus. That's how powerful God is, if we would just plug in. And so you don't get to make excuses here. And this is why John is phrasing it this way. This is not something that we're looking at over a lifetime. Now, obviously, I've had a lifetime of a walk with Christ, you know, better than 40 years now of a walk with Jesus. And so I'm doing better right now than I was when I first got saved. But as far as my heart towards the Lord, my attitude towards him and my love towards him, that stuff's, you know, pretty much the same or increased a little bit. But one of the things that I've always done is try to keep myself in the place that I was when I first got saved, because I read my Bible. I want to love Jesus like I did with the first day that he saved me, where I was so overwhelmed with his love, so overwhelmed with his forgiveness that I could not believe that he would do this for me. I want to be so overwhelmed with the fact that he would bring me into the family of God to a place that I absolutely do not belong, and the fact that he would make me one of his and even line me up with the rest of you in front of Jesus and make me a joint heir with every one of you. That's nuts. And I want to be in the place where I think that way for the rest of my life. And if I'm in that place, then I'm going to have a whole lot easier time of it. And so there are things that I did not recognize as being radically sinful when I first got saved, frankly, because I needed a good brainwashing. I did not understand many times what the Bible had to say about my lifestyle. And as time went on, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. But when people saw me turn my life over to Christ fully and completely, they saw a complete change. They were blown away by it, and it happened within a matter of weeks. 2 weeks after I recommitted my life to Jesus, my friends are coming to me and talking to me and saying, "What happened to you?" And what happened to me was I started abiding. That's what happened. And so the sin starts going out the door. I don't want to do the things that I was doing before. And again, you have that. So Practical righteousness. It's what we're looking for. It's what I'm looking for in my life. Practical righteousness. Not blah, 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 I'm so great. But doing, doing, doing. I actually give my life for other people. I give things for other people. I'm willing to put others before myself. I'm actually doing righteousness. And when a person is doing that, when that's taken place, that, and again, you need to see the difference. Because if you go out and try to start doing that, then all you're doing is doing stuff. But if you're abiding in Christ and all of a sudden you start having this heart for the people who are around you and you see somebody in need and you're like, oh man, that guy's got some issues. He needs some help. You know what? I think I'm going to ding dong ditch him tonight. He needs some groceries. And I'm going to go up and I'm going to grab the groceries. I'm going to put them on his porch. I don't want to embarrass him. And so we're going to do that. Ding dong ditch the guy. And did you guys ever do that? Yeah. We did that when I was an unbeliever. We did that with other things, not with groceries. And so, but after I became a Christian, this is stuff that you do. You have a heart for the people who are around you, and people can see your love for them in practical ways. He goes on and he says, verse 8, he who sins, literally in Greek that says, he who is making the sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, again, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So Jesus was not just manifested to forgive my sins. He was manifested, verse 5, to take them away. And Jesus was manifested not to just beat up the devil. He was manifested to destroy his works, and specifically his works in my life. And so if I'm fulfilling the manifestation of Christ, two things are going to be happening. My sins are going to be taken away, and the works of the devil are going to be destroyed in my life. Those two things are going to be taking place. And again, that's just practical righteousness. You can see it. He goes on and talks about being born of God. And this is the same kind of principle. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed, God's seed, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. And literally, when it says he cannot sin, it literally again says he does not make sin. It's the idea of he does not practice this. That word make, I think I told you last week, is the word poieo in Greek, and it's the term where we get our word poem. There are some people who make an art form out of sinning. And that's the idea behind it. There are some people who make an art form out of doing the right thing. They make righteousness. And that's what we're called to. And so, again, we need to keep that in mind. Sin, again, in the passage, is in the present active. It means, it's a tense in Greek. It means it's an ongoing action. It keeps on happening. And it doesn't stop. And so, whoever has been born of God makes not sin. And he cannot sin because he's been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. And so if righteousness is not a practice in somebody's life, then they're not born of God. And again, what John's doing is he's making it real blunt, real straightforward, so we know where the standards are. And so, when I look at my life, am I somebody who is practicing righteousness, or am I somebody who's practicing sin? And it's a good way to check your life. Am I somebody who's having a struggle with the flesh, not just giving into it, actually having a fight with it? Or am I somebody who constantly lives in the flesh and I could give a rip about what God says, what the Spirit of God is saying in my heart, basically harden my heart towards the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and I do what I stinking please, and I go to church and they better accept me. And there are people like that, obviously. And that is not what God has called us to. And so, again, you have that. Let me give this to you in the ESV. This is verses 6 through 9. It says, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Again, talking about Jesus. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. And that's a good flavor of a translation. Again, the Greek is more specific and more blunt. It almost leaves no room there. And again, the point that John's making is sins of the devil, righteousness is of Christ. When I'm abiding in Christ, there's going to be righteousness. When I'm not, there's going to be sin. Actually, sin comes from two places. It can come from my flesh too. But in this context, he's using the devil. You get that? That's pretty straightforward, right? And so I need to see some changes. I need to see some changes. When I'm looking in the mirror, I need to see more love because Jesus is loving. When I'm looking in the mirror, I need to see more disgust towards sin because Jesus is disgusted with it. There are things that God hates. I need to hate the things he hates. I need to love the things that he loves. And if I'm not seeing that change over time, then what's happening is I'm no longer abiding. I need to be abiding. I need to be tight with Jesus. And so when I'm tight with Jesus, this is a no-brainer. When I'm not tight with Jesus, there's all kinds of struggle. All kinds of struggle. So we've got to watch out for that. He goes on and talks about, again, he's going to be speaking about real righteousness. And he says, again, verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. So when we're looking at this, good and evil can be seen. It's something that God makes manifest. When you see the passages in here that talk about manifestation, verse 10, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. That word manifest comes from a Greek word that means to shine. This stuff shines out when it's happening. And so when somebody is unrighteous, it shines out. You can see it. And when somebody is walking in righteousness, it shines out. You can see it. And so this isn't something that's kind of esoteric or anything like that. It's the idea that practical righteousness is something, again, that can be seen. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, 18 through 19 says this, "For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it, for there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you." Lots of junk that goes on in churches, and it's been happening from the first century on. And one of the reasons that God allows some of the junk to take place in churches, because he could do the Ananias and Sapphira thing over and over and over. You know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? They're a bunch of phonies, and they died. And they buried them, one after another, within probably a half an hour of each other, because they were being such complete hypocrites. But a lot of times the reason that God allows these things is so that those who are approved can be made manifest, literally, can be recognized among you. They can shine out. So when you have junk going on in a group of people, the ones who are godly, they shine. You can see it. You can see that they're doing things biblically. You can see that they're doing things for the love of God, for the love of the body of Christ. You can see it. And so, again, it's something that we need to be paying attention to. Righteousness is practiced, it says in verse 10. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Righteousness is practiced. And again, it's something that we can see. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I referenced this earlier on. I don't think it was in the study. I think it was in the sharing. I want you to notice this. 1 Corinthians 13. This is the love chapter. And let's start in verse 1. This is a good passage to go through every once in a while. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." A lot of times Christians are interested in spirituality, in spiritual gifts, and being somebody who's known for being spiritually powerful, right? And what Paul says here is, you have the tongues of men and of angels, but you don't have love. All you are is noise. And as an illustration, I could just go over and bang on the cymbals and see how quickly I could irritate the snot out of you, right? All it is noise. if there's no love connected with those things. And there's a reason that he throws these things in is because they're having problems with the gifts. Verse 2, he says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing." And again, the reason that he's saying this about knowledge and prophecy and understanding mysteries is because that's where the Corinthians think they are. In the very next chapter, he's going to tell them that you need to knock it off and you need to be more concerned about the people that are around you than you are about yourself and your gifting, because you're stumbling people. That's the next thing he's going to say in the next chapter. And that's why he's throwing this stuff in here. He says, "Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." And then he goes through a description of love. And I want you to watch this description. Love suffers long. And in a lot of translations, that's the word for patient, or the word is translated patient. It literally means suffers long, suffers for a long time. So love puts up with stuff for quite a while and is kind. Love does not envy. In other words, they're not looking at other people and wanting what they have and being irritated because they have something that I don't have and that kind of thing. It does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Does not go around talking about how hot they are, how great they are, how wonderful they are, that kind of stuff. They give glory to God, and that's okay. But they don't try to glorify themselves. Does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. That's arrogant. Nobody has a reason to be arrogant. You know, arrogant people are irritating when they're gifted. They're really irritating when they don't have anything to be arrogant about. Guess where we sit? We don't have anything to be arrogant about. What do you have that God didn't give you? Something to keep in mind. So, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Thinks no evil is the idea of thinking rotten stuff about people and keeping a record of wrongs. I have all these people that I'm going to repay. I was like this before I was a Christian. You know, before I was a Christian, there were guys who picked on me. I got picked on my sophomore year in high school. I went to 12 schools in the time that I was growing up. And so the last school I went to was in my sophomore year. And I'm trying to be friendly to everybody. And I got picked on. And I went out for football and I was no good. And so I got picked on even more. And so there were some guys who did stuff to me. And I can name them. One's name was Art. One's name was Russell. One's name was Jerry. One's name was Mark. And I went through for the next 3 years and found a reason to pound those guys. You know, I looked for any old reason. And if they were being mean to somebody, I pounded them. If they were smarting off at me for no good reason, I pounded them. I just went through and I wreaked vengeance on every one of these guys except for Jerry. And it's because he wouldn't step up. The other guys did. So I wreaked vengeance on them. I had a list. I was going through the list, and I was doing it in a way that all the administrators were going to love me, because these guys were troublemakers, and I nailed every single one of them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Steve. And then you become a Christian, and you cannot do that. It's not to be done. We don't live that way. And so what the Bible says is that I don't have to repay people for their evil. In fact, what I'm supposed to be doing is being as kind as I possibly can to people, even though they've done something wrong to me.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our summer service times are 8 a.m. in our sanctuary and 10 a.m. in our outdoor amphitheater. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.